And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And here's what I know. I know this to be a fact. You're either happy or you're not happy with the election results. That's what's going on in your head. That's what you woke up to this morning. You're either happy with the election results or you're not happy with them. So why do I bring this up? Well, there are things that occur in our lives that we have no control over. An election is one of those things that you and I, we don't have any control over. So are you happy or are you sad? Well, I guess it depends on which party you wanted to vote for and which party actually turned in the results that either made you happy or sad, right? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to switch gears because I don't care if you're happy. I don't care if you're sad. The election has occurred. The results are what they are. I can't change them. You can't change them. But one of the things that we can change is we can change what you're doing for retirement. We absolutely can change that. Did you know that you can change what you're doing for retirement in midstream? You didn't know that, did you? You think that the only way for you to retire is to keep putting money into a 401k or an IRA or some other government-endorsed savings plan that they put this term retirement on it. They do. They put this term retirement right on top of these different types of vehicles, and then they call them retirement plans. But the problem is they take forever to accomplish the goal. And here's the other problem with them. Many of them won't accomplish the goal that they were established to accomplish. You didn't know that, did you? There are plenty of people in our society that I'll use the word elderly. They are elderly people. And these elderly people, one by one, are coming out of, quote unquote, retirement, and they're starting to work again. Why are they doing this? Because of what has occurred in our country with inflation, with the cost of living, with a lot of things that you and I, we can't control. So these people are finding it difficult to stay at home and live off of a fixed income because the cost of everything around them is going up, but their income isn't going up. Sounds like they have a retirement problem, doesn't it? Sounds kind of like your retirement problem, because here's the problem you have. Let's say you decide you're going to retire right now. I told you, you can make this decision midstream, right? So you can make the decision right now, right at this moment. I'm going to retire. That's it. I'm done. What it means is that you feel you have positioned yourself in such a way that you're going to be fine financially as time goes forward. Oh, and by the way, that job that you have to relinquish that job. You have to give it up. It has to go away. And the income that comes from that job, it goes away too, because now you're retired, right? You're not working. You're not trading time for money. You have made a decision to retire. So how are you sitting? Are you comfortable? Are you nervous? Are you scared to death? Well, it depends on where you are financially when you retire, right? If you have enough passive income coming in that it meets or exceeds your expenses of life, congratulations, you've achieved retirement. But if you do not have enough passive income coming in to your household so that it meets or exceeds your expenses of living, guess what? You have not qualified to be retirement. That's the acid test right there. That's the thing that you check, whether or not you have enough passive income. Now, what is this passive income? How do you get it? Where does it come from? Well, passive income comes from investments that you make that you don't physically go out and tender every moment of the day. So what do we mean by tender them? Well, it means you have to be there. You have to take care of them. You have to do the things that need to be done in order to nurture them so that they will continue to grow, so they will continue to prosper, so that they will get to a place where they're producing passive income for you. And you use that passive income to live off of. It's as simple as that. So I want to change the subject a little bit. So let me read you this poem. Let's see if there's something good that comes out of this poem. Let's see if it triggers something in your mind that makes you go, okay, I'm starting to get it now. A house, once proud, now slumped in age. Its walls, a story on every page. Paint peeled like whispers of time gone by. Windows clouded with a ghostly sigh. Once it held laughter, light, and cheer. But now it creaks with shadows near. Floorboards groan beneath settled dust. Dreams rustled in its frames. Old trust. Yet hands return with vision clear to sweep the gloom, bring warmth and cheer. They peel the past from every wall and lift it high from where it fell. New wood is laid, fresh beams set right. Old rooms transform in morning light. The house inhales, its breath remade as memories bloom where sorrow stayed. In every nail, a promise rings, a worn out heart returned and restored to sing. From ruin rises hope anew, a house reborn, both old and true. Yeah, that sums up what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. Now, okay, we don't get together and lock arms together and sing kumbaya and say poems with each other. Although we could do that. But the poem is indicating to you that real estate is regenerative. In other words, what it means is you can take it down to its studs and you can build it back to its brand new condition. It's pretty cool. Now, some of you are going, wow, that sounds like it's going to take a lot of work. Sounds like I've got to have some knowledge of construction. Sounds like I've got to have some different skill sets that I don't really have. I'm not sure this is something that I could do. Okay, well, let me say it to you in a slightly different way. When you're rehabilitating real estate, you should not be doing all the heavy lifting. Yeah, you should not be doing the heavy lifting. In other words, you shouldn't be doing the actual maintenance on the property. You shouldn't be bending the nails straight. You shouldn't be putting in floorboards. You shouldn't be hanging curtains. What you should be doing is controlling those people that do all of that work for you. So what am I getting at? Well, with real estate investing, you want to be in the driver's seat and you want to be in control of the entire rehabilitation experience, whether it's single family assets or multifamily assets. The key takeaway is control. Remember that control I said you've got no control over at the beginning of the show? Okay, you still have no control over what's gone on in the election environment, and you still have no control over who won, who didn't win, or what is going on with that process, right? You have no control over it. But when it comes to real estate investing, you can have 100% control. You can control the people that come in and do the work for you. You can control whether or not you buy the asset or you don't buy the asset. You can control the analysis as to whether or not you decide this is an asset you want to buy. You can be in complete control with real estate investing throughout the entire process. That's one of the things you're going to learn how to do when you become a Lifestyles Unlimited member. You're going to learn how to put control back into your life because many of you have lost control over your life. You have somebody else telling you when to be at work, what to do at work, how long to stay at work, whether or not you can leave work, whether or not you can take a lunch break, whether or not you get any breaks at all. Somebody is controlling all of that. Now, some of you might be in a situation where your boss is pretty cool. I mean, I've been in a situation where my boss is pretty cool. You know, I could kind of come and go as I please. If you know, showtime for the job was at 8:30, if I rolled in at 8:45, I didn't catch a lot of flack over that, you know, because I mean, the reality is I can't control traffic, right? So sometimes I'd have to come in a little bit late, but my boss understood that. But still, even in that scenario where my boss is being cool, hey, you can come in about 15 minutes late, and we didn't even talk about whether or not I had to make up the time or not, I'm still subject to my boss's control. I'm still subject to whatever it is they want me to accomplish while I'm there at the work site. Does that make sense? I know that makes sense to you. But with real estate investing, you put yourself in a position where you control everything. You control whether or not you acquire the asset. You control the rehabilitation budget. You control who you hire to do the rehab work. You control whether or not you hire a real estate professional to lease the property out for you or not. You control the IA lease, the residents that will ultimately live in your property, because the lease is the document that you live by. So the lease gives you control over the entire leasing period. It gives you certain rights, certain responsibilities, gives your resident certain rights and certain responsibilities. And what it really does for both sides of the agreement is it shapes what each party will do in concert with the agreement. Now, I've got to go back to this poem, because there's something in the poem that really makes me, well, it makes me beam. It does. It makes me beam. And it's the last phrase of the poem. And it says, "In every nail, a promise rings, a worn out heart returned to sing." It is talking about taking that tired, worn out property that nobody wants to buy, nobody wants to live in, nobody wants to have in their portfolio. But what we learn to do as Lifestyles Unlimited is we learn to breathe new life back into that asset. And then the poem goes on. "From ruin rises hope anew, a house reborn, both old and true." So what it means is, even though that the housing stock is older housing stock, you did what you needed to do to modernize that housing stock without rebuilding it to brand new condition. Pretty cool stuff, right? All right, when we come back from the break, I've got some deals I want to run by you.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I am working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, we're doing so by talking about the fact that you can't control certain things. Now, the big glaring thing that you had no control over, that I had no control over, even if we participated in it, we did not have control over the results. So there are people that have woken up today that are very happy with the election results, and there are people that have woken up today that are not very happy with the election results. And the election results are what they are. They are what they are. I can't change them. You can't change them. Rick, my producer, as much as he thinks he can change them, he can't change them either. At the end of the day, those results are what those results are. So when it comes to real estate investing, can you change, or can you control the outcome of a particular asset? And I'm here to tell you, no, you can't control the outcome of a particular asset. So what do I mean by that? You can't control it. Well, it's going to do whatever it's going to do. In other words, any particular asset that you analyze is going to give you some type of result. And you cannot necessarily control, well, I mean, you can manipulate the result a little bit if you want. But at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is you're trying to analyze an asset, and you're trying to understand what that asset will do for you. Will that asset pay you cash flow? Will that asset allow you to capture additional equity over and above the cash that you put into the asset? Will that asset allow you to obtain principal pay down? Will that asset allow you to take advantage of natural appreciation? Will that asset give you the ability to take advantage of all the favorable tax laws that are on the books that we as real estate investors get the opportunity to take advantage of? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves to determine whether or not we can actually control the asset. Because what we're looking for is we're looking for an asset that's going to do all of these things that we can put into our portfolio. We want the asset to cash flow. We want the asset to give us the opportunity to capture additional equity. We want the asset to give us the ability to have principal pay down. We want the asset to give us the ability to take advantage of natural appreciation. We want the asset to have tax benefits for us. That is part of the reason we invest in real estate. It's part of the reason you should invest in real estate also. Now, there are three different assets that came across my desk over the weekend, and these assets are in different parts of the United States. As a matter of fact, all three of these assets are in a state called Texas, but they're in different parts of the state of Texas. One part is near the Houston epicenter. One part is near the San Antonio epicenter, and one part is near the Dallas-Fort Worth epicenter. Now, I'm using the term epicenter. Why am I using the term epicenter? Because it's a cool word. It's a cool word. Yeah. And when you really boil down to what does the epicenter mean, it means that I found a particular asset that could make a difference in what we are doing for real estate investing. Does that make sense to you? Makes total sense to me. All right. So the first deal that came out, this particular property is in the greater Houston marketplace. Now, some of you may screen out the Houston marketplace. Maybe you do not want to invest in Houston. Maybe you have very specific reasons why you do not want to invest in the Houston marketplace. But I'm here to tell you this asset is in a place outside of the Houston market, and it's got some pretty interesting fundamentals. Let me just tell you a little bit about this property. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage property that has had the two-car garage, which, by the way, is detached from the main house. The detached garage has been converted into a one-bedroom, one-bath apartment. So you've got the main house, which is three bedrooms, two bath with no garage. You've got the garage, which is technically now one bedroom, one bath with no garage. So you technically have two living units within this property address. Now, this asset, all fixed up. It's worth $330,000. But you can buy it for a lot less money than $330,000. You can actually buy this asset for $130,000. And the reason you can buy it for $130,000 is that this thing is in bad shape. It is distressed. It is going to take some major, major rehab to bring life back to this particular asset. Rehab in the form of six figures. You heard me correctly. Six figures. I mean, literally, you're going to spend almost as much in rehab as you're going to spend to acquire this asset. That's how bad this asset is. But remember, we're going to breathe new life back into this asset. We're going to go through and we're going to fix or repair everything that needs to be fixed or repaired so that we can modernize this particular asset. And when this asset is completely modernized, we're going to get two living units out of it, a three-bedroom, two-bath unit and a one-bedroom, one-bath unit. So I mentioned that the property is worth $330,000 all fixed up. I mentioned that you can buy it for $130,000. That represents essentially paying 40 cents on the dollar for the asset. Now, your rehab costs, they're going to be about another 40 cents on the dollar. So what does that indicate to you? That there's still about 20 cents on the dollar left that allows us to capture equity. Captured equity is the difference between your all-in cost, everything that you have put into the asset, and what it's really worth in the marketplace. So the difference between the all-in cost and the after repair value or the appraised value of this particular asset is $67,500. That's the amount of equity that you're going to capture in this asset, $67,500. By buying this asset, you're effectively replacing an income stream for many Americans in America. Do you understand that? You're effectively buying an entire year's worth of income just by buying this particular asset. Now, here's the other thing you need to know about this asset. You need to know how much money you're going to have to reach into your pocket and pull out to buy this asset. Are you ready for it? Okay, here it comes. $20,250. You heard me correctly. $20,250. So let's analyze that for a minute. You just put $20,250 of your own money into this asset. You just captured $67,500 of additional equity. You heard me correctly. I said additional equity. That's the equity that you're capturing in this asset. What does that number total out to be? $87,750. You have $87,750 worth of equity in this asset, and you only put $20,250 of your own money into the asset to acquire all of that additional equity. You're getting a return on capital gains. When you take the net equity captured to $67,500, you divide it by the $20,250 you put into the deal, you're getting a return on capital gains. Are you ready for it? 333%. Are you starting to get the idea that this property that I'm talking about, this property that's outside of Houston, Texas, this property is positioned to make a big difference in your portfolio. I mean, let's talk about the different ways this property is really improving your financial position. First of all, you're spending $130,000 on the asset. That's the purchase price. That doesn't mean you're writing a check for $130,000. What it means is that is the purchase price. But the property in an all fixed up state is worth $330,000. That's $200,000 worth of total equity that we can use as real estate investors to rehabilitate this property. $200,000 of total equity that's available to us. So what we're going to do is we're going to use about $122,500 of that equity to repair the property. And we're going to use another $10,000 to cover closing and holding costs associated with doing the business of real estate rehab. When the dust all settles, we're going to have an additional $67,500 of net equity in addition to the $20,250 that we put into the asset. That works out to be $87,750 of total equity that belongs to us. When's the last time you had a boss give you the equivalent of $87,750 worth of total equity? It doesn't happen in the employment field, does it? No, and when's the last time you got an $87,750 raise? Didn't get one of those, did you? No, a boss wasn't feeling that giving was the boss. No. So at the end of the day, we have just figured out how to turn $20,250 into $87,750. But we're not done. We also have the cash flow on this asset. The cash flow is coming in at $1,087 per month. When annualized, that gives us a $13,000 annual cash flow contribution. That's $13,000 that comes into our household. I want you to take a break for a moment, and I want you to think for a moment about what it would mean for you to make an extra $13,000 per year. Go ahead, take that moment. Yeah, it's significant, isn't it? An extra $13,000 per year coming into your household can allow you to do some things that you're either not doing now and want to do, or it can allow you to do things that you had planned to do along the way. Does that make sense? Yeah, I know that makes sense to you. And here's the point. When you're making an extra $13,000 in cash flow, you're not working for that money. You didn't go to the office. You didn't go clock in. You didn't deal with a day's worth of whatever you had to deal with at your employer's workplace, did you? You did not have to deal with that at all. What you dealt with is somebody paying the rent on time, that rent coming into your household, you paying the associated expenses of operating that property, and that property leaving $1,087 in your wallet when the dust all settled. $1,087. Now, when you take that annualized cash flow of $13,000, it's technically $13,044, but we'll just call it $13,000 because that's a big enough number to deal with. When you take that $13,000 and you divide it by the $20,250 that we had to inject into this deal, we're getting a cash on cash return of over 64%. Let that soak in for a minute. When's the last time you invested in anything and got a 64% return on investment? And here's the neat thing about that money. That money does not have to go into your 401k. It doesn't have to go into your IRA. It doesn't have to go into any government sponsored retirement plans because you're investing this money outside of those retirement plans. The money that you earn, you can spend on anything that you want. There's no conditions on the money. There's no caveats on the money. There's nothing that says you must spend this money this certain way. All of this money is your money, and you can do with it what you want. So what are you going to do with $1,087 extra every month? I mean, let's think about that for a minute. Can we pay off or make a car payment? We probably can't pay off the car, but we certainly can make a car payment with that, right? What if we pay the insurance with that too? What if it also covers our gasoline and our maintenance costs? Effectively, what we have here is we have an asset that is replacing our need to fund from our own household budget the cost of a vehicle in our household. Because now we have an asset that's producing enough cash flow that it's basically taking care of that cost in our living existence. So what do we do with the money that we don't need to spend on that because now we've got real estate covering that? we can spend it on something else. It frees up that income because we have substituted where that money comes from. Pretty cool stuff, right? All right. There's another deal that came in. There's actually two other deals. I'm not going to get to both deals, but there's another deal that came in. It's in the greater San Antonio market. Here's what I like about this deal. This deal can be bought for $125,000, but the after repair value, in other words, what it's worth all fixed up, is $275,000. Again, we're in a situation where we can buy the property for pennies on the dollar. And in this case, we're spending 45 cents on the dollar to acquire the asset. Now, this is what I like about this particular property. This property only requires $8,250 out of your pocket in order to do the deal. $8,250. It's pretty cool stuff, right? Now, you think about that. You're only spending $8,250 out of your own pocket. What kind of return on investment might this produce for you? Well, when you take a look at the return on capital gains, what we find is that it's going to take about $75,000 to do the rehab. We're going to have about $10,000 in closing and holding costs. So when we take that $85,500 of rehab and closing and holding costs and we tack it on to the purchase price, what it indicates to me is that we're going to capture, are you ready for this? $64,500 in equity. So we're going to capture not quite as much equity as the last property, but it's costing us less cash out of pocket in order to capture that equity. Want to know what the return on capital gains would be? Okay, this is how we formulate it. We take the $64,000, it's technically $64,500 in net equity captured, and we divide it by the cash out of pocket that we're putting into this deal. We get a return on capital gains of 782%. Yeah, it's not a typo. 782%. That's the return on capital gains based on the information that I shared with you. Now, what is this property doing cash flow wise? Is this property doing as well cash flow wise as the other property? Well, it's not doing as well cash flow wise. This property is only returning a $224 per month cash flow. And when you annualize that, you get almost $2,700 per year in cash flow. But when we do our analysis, when we figure out what our cash on cash return is, we take our $2,700 per year in cash flow and we divide it by the $8,250 that we actually put into the deal. And guess what we're getting? We're getting a 33% cash on cash return. It's about half the cash flow that the other deal was producing, but we got about double the return on capital gains that the other property was producing. So which deal is better? Which deal is the deal you need to put into your portfolio? Well, it kind of depends on what your investing strategy is. It depends on what your investing goals might be. If you're looking for greater cash flow while still obtaining an incredible equity capture, the first property might be the property for you to go for. But if you're looking for an even better return on capital gains while still ensuring a decent cash flow, the property that I just told you about might be the way to go. But what if we analyze both of these properties and we take into consideration the five different ways we make money in real estate? And let's say we were to hold these properties for a year and a day. My analysis says that our total return on investment for property number one is going to be about 309%. But for property number two, because it's got twice as much equity capture, we're getting a 637% return on investment. So property number two, even though it doesn't provide as much cash flow as property number one, because it returns such a large amount of money on the equity capture compared to the amount of money that we're actually putting into the deal, property number two becomes the better property for us to buy. It's just a matter of math. It's not a matter of location. It's not a matter of condition. It's a matter of doing the math and understanding what the numbers are telling us. And what the numbers are telling me is that either one of these assets would be a great property for you to put into your portfolio. And here, I'll sweeten the deal. What if you bought them both? What if you bought both properties? You would need $28,500 across both properties. But man, the returns, they're incredible. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. When you get there, sign up for a free workshop and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.